Welcome to the High Rise Podcast, presented by Headset, the leading data and analytics company for the cannabis industry.
So as I drive around the neighborhood this time of year, I'm always excited because the fireworks stands are there. And I'm reminded of when I was a kid going and exploring and seeing what was new. But I think progressively over the years, they've gotten a lot worse, particularly in California, you know, where I'm at right now. And maybe in other parts of the country, there's still some of the good ones. But when I was younger, you know, my favorites, not necessarily available at the stands, but were things like bottle rockets, Roman candles, you know, firecrackers. Those things were around. And now, you know, they're long gone. And the stands, I think, are not long for this world and this market. Do you have any favorite 4th of July fireworks?
Yeah, I was not a kid that was into setting off fireworks. And, you know, my father did a great job of scaring me about losing my fingers to that endeavor. But I do have a favorite memory where a friend of mine had a boat, and we grew up right across the lake, Lake Ontario from Toronto. And we took the boat across the lake, which is not a short journey, but it was fun. And they were having an international firework competition. So it was all these countries putting off fireworks. And we watched the fireworks on the bow of the boat. I remember we were all bundled up, and then we rode in the boat back all night. And it's definitely one of those summer memories that has stayed with me all of this time. I was quite young at the time, and I thought it was pretty much one of the most exciting experiences I've ever had. But other than that, just sparklers in the backyard.
Well, that sounds pretty amazing. That's like a Eurovision of fireworks. It's, you know, fireworks from around the world and yes. A big competition, and only one country can win. I love that. That's way, way better than things I did, I guess, growing up.
Yeah, who knew growing up in Buffalo is going to afford me such a tremendous 4th of July experience?
Well, with 4th of July right around the corner, I did want to talk about this uniquely American product, cannabis, and, you know, 4th of July and what it means and what happens around the season here. And I do think it's quite interesting to think about it as like a uniquely American product in the sense of the scope and the variety and the access that we have to this product that other regions certainly don't at the level that we do. And so, yeah, let's talk a little bit about the 4th of July.
Let's do it. I mean, people are going to be getting together just like they do for other holidays, albeit in this instance, yeah, it's like boating, it's picnics. And along with that, people are bringing food and snacks and drinks and other things. And actually, I have plans for a party and I'm planning to bring some cannabis items. So I think it's an interesting discussion.
Yeah, well, I want to hear about what those items might be, because I do want to talk about sales. And there are, you know, certainly sales trends that happen. It's a pretty big sales year. We'll have the numbers pretty soon after the 4th at Headset, so we can kind of report back. But I was looking at 2021 sales and comparing the week prior, the increase across the markets we track is close to 10%. In markets like California, Pennsylvania, we saw it a little higher than that, about 12%, which is something. I think that it's, you know, to compare and contrast, you know, we talk a lot about 420. That's where you see 100%, you know, you see double the amount of sales happening around 420. So we're not at that level yet, but definitely the holiday is driving, you know, some unique purchase behavior. And you can contrast that too with Nevada. When we look at Nevada, sales are actually down a little bit for that week, which is, you know, I know a lot of Nevada sales are driven by the tourism industry, you know, people coming through, you know, to the Las Vegas area. So maybe that's happening a little bit less compared to, you know, sales in other markets. But we definitely see a sales spike.
It makes sense. And I thought what was interesting, which you're going to speak about soon, is the categories that we see the spike in, because it does dovetail to what I was about to share with what I'm planning to bring to my
your product choice.
Or yeah, my boating trip.
Yes, exactly. Yes. So when we talk about categories, you know, when we look at the different categories of products that are available, you know, vapor pens, pre-rolls, flowers, and so on, the biggest gains come from edibles and beverages. Edibles are up 16%. Beverages are up almost 15%. And what's really interesting is within the edibles category, the cookies segment, and not to be confused with the brand cookies, but actual like cookies climbed about 20%. And I think that shows, you know, that to your earlier point about people having barbecues, people bringing food, people bringing drinks. Now we're starting to see people bringing cannabis in those formats, even more.
Yeah. And it's interesting because I think when I think of the edibles category in general, you know, we've seen that pretty parabolic growth on the gummies side of the category. And we've seen some of the declining categories like chocolates or actually the baked goods of edibles, not necessarily decline, but not the growth that we're seeing on the gummy side. You would know better than I. But when I think about 4th of July, I think about what people are eating and drinking. And it's kind of like a, what is Parks and Rec, like treat yourself? Like, it's like bring, it's like a fun stuff. It's like chips. It's, I mean, nobody's like, well, maybe me, but like a lot of people are not like, here's your celery sticks for the 4th of July party. I actually probably will bring celery sticks, but it's like people kind of like go for it and let go and have fun. And I think that there's more playfulness and maybe like a cookie that you're cookies that you're bringing to an adult gathering.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know, in addition to just kind of people wanting to bring things to events, there is some discounting happening at this time of year. And I think that helps drive, you know, some of the sales. Items discounted on average about 15%. And that's compared to about 9%, which we see kind of across the board. So slight increase in discounting too. Mm-hmm. And I do want to talk about discount strategies and like what we're seeing out there. But before we kind of get into that, I was thinking a bit about the 4th of July holiday and what it means for maybe the consumer packaged goods industry or fast moving consumer goods, really like the stuff that you'd buy at the grocery store, all those kind of junk food items that you're talking about, bringing the bag of chips or the celery sticks with a lot of, you know, high calorie dip, I'm sure. But as a comp to cannabis, I was thinking about alcohol. And Nielsen has some data on this stuff as they track beverage alcohol. And the data that I saw from them is that 4th of July is the third largest beverage alcohol holiday, you know, behind Christmas time, behind Thanksgiving time. So the 4th is when people are buying the most. Recent trends I thought were kind of interesting because what it showed, like the stuff that has high growth are what I think are more new formats for beverage alcohol. So you're seeing large growth and new kind of innovative product categories. They talked about the spirit ready to drink category. Those are like the cut water spirits, if you've seen those in the cans. Those are up almost 70% in 2021 versus 2020. Wine cocktails up 40%. I don't know if that's like the canned wine that you'd see, or maybe that's like a sangria. I'm not really sure. Mm-hmm. And then hard seltzer growth had slowed a bit. It's up 9% versus 2020, but it's still slowing. But I think hard seltzers by 2021 are kind of old news in the beverage alcohol mm-hmm. category. So to me, I thought it was interesting because I think it just shows like these emerging kind of categories are growing. And I think we'll see the same thing in cannabis. Like beverages obviously are a small, you know, emerging category, right? And I think they fit the format pretty nicely. I think we're going to see, you know, continued innovation in any category. And I think that'll start to be reflected in 4th of July sales. So a lot of opportunity, I think, in the 4th of July that's just like this industry. It's so early on. I don't think the brands, the retailers have fully embraced it like you might see in the fast moving consumer good world.
Yeah. And I think that the serving sizes of the, because a lot of those things, it's like you used to have to bring a bottle of wine. Well, you still can, and I do, but you know, having these smaller serving sizes of wine so you can have an individual choice. And I think when we live in a world where people have so many different dietary interests and taste profiles, it's nice to have these alternative things. And it's also fun to bring things to try as a group, because a lot of times I feel like that's when you talk about things. Like the first time I tried a hard seltzer was because I was with a group of people and everyone was like, you got to try it. It's so good. And we all know how I feel about hard seltzer. I was not a convert, but it was because it was with a group of people and I was like, yeah, I'll give it a shot. And, you know, and you go from there. But it is one of my favorite ways to introduce to our conversations recently about lower dose, like sessions, beverages in the cannabis space. Or it's a place I would have said I introduced multiple years ago, mints, when the category started getting really interesting, and gummies. Like those are the occasions where I'm like, hey, this is a cool product that I've been trying out. I'm curious to hear your thoughts. And my friends are always kind of looking to me to be somebody who introduces them. So I think it is partly that is being like, isn't there a little bit of social cachet to being the one to introduce something? So if you're the one who brings like my favorite Salt Point or my favorite canned hard beverages. They do a Greyhound. And, you know, it, when I first discovered it, I brought it everywhere with me because I kind of was like, guys, you're going to love this. And it was something people really enjoyed. And so I felt kind of cool that I turned them on to that. So I think there's a little bit of that around so sharing in these social environments and around these holidays.
Yeah. And what cooler product to bring than the new cannabis beverages or new cannabis edibles, right? That is the coolest. And there's probably some expectation from you or from I when we go to these things to bring something cool and something interesting. And we certainly can't disappoint.
We cannot disappoint. It's our job, really.
It really is. So I was looking around a little bit just to kind of see, you know, how embraced is the holiday out there by retailers, by brands, you know, and it was a bit of rigorous online research, you know, about 15 minutes of searching. And I found a few things that kind of stood out. One of them was Wonder, the beverage company in California here. They have 40% off their entire store and specifically for the 4th of July. And when we talk about like the perfect product for the holiday, right? I mean, it's a session cannabis cocktail, right? So you can have, you know, a handful of them potentially. So I thought that was pretty clever. And I've got a bunch in my cart actually to, because of that deal. So yeah, I may be bringing that along. And then I saw, you know, some, a few dispensaries as well doing a 4th of July sale, but there was nothing like, no theme I found in particular. You know, obviously the theme is the 4th of July, but as far as the products that they were discounting, it was just kind of like a, an assortment of miscellaneous. And I think it's a little bit of a missed opportunity because, I mean, you could package this up as like cookies and drinks or like, you know, great things to bring to a party as like a retailer. We've discounted all of these things. And then when you're there, you go and you buy the pre-rolls and the flower, whatever else, you know, at full price to bring with that stuff. And it, you know, I thought that was, I don't know, it's something, but it just kind of felt like, well, we're just going to use this day and we're just going to say it's a 4th of July sale. But there was nothing really that like connected you to it. Like if you went into a grocery store and there's a 4th of July sale, it's going to be on the Ruffles or it's going to be on the Budweiser, I would think, or maybe not. I'm not a retailer. Maybe those things sell anyways, right? And then you discount other stuff. I don't know. But you know, you see that when you walk into the store, right? That's like the end cap with all the American flags there, right? And the coolers and everything, right? So why don't they have that? Maybe they do. Maybe some do. I'm sure there's a retailer out there listening to this is like, you got to come to my store. But again, my brief research, I didn't really see that much. And the last thing I'll say on that is that on Leafly, I thought it was pretty interesting. They have an article and they talk about different strains and the strains they call out a lot of like red, white, and blue, like Red Velvet, Blue Power, White Runts, you know, they put on the list. And I was like, that's clever too, right? Like that would be a great promotion for a retailer, right? On these strains or, you know, this group of strains. So yeah, I think it's nascent. I think like everything in this industry, like a lot of opportunity here to really drive more sales, to get more people in the door, to get people more excited. But I love this idea that it's just further normalization that this uniquely American product can now just be brought along with you to the barbecue.
I like that idea. I didn't see that. Like you could have red Congolese and yeah, white runs and like right. That's
white
really
rhino,
cool.
Blue dream. Like yeah,
white bundle rhino, them blue all. Dream. Yeah, there's a whole. That's clever. I'm here for that. Yeah, you know, I just think this is. We're still living in a early days of retail strategy. And, you know, in Safeway's world, they planned their 4th of July in like December. You know what I mean? Like these are the things. And they worked with the brands and the brands created packaging probably with American flags all over them or like fireworks or whatever it is to, you know, sync up with the aesthetic of the holiday. And then let's face it, for the rest of the summer, I feel like patriotism is abound. But, you know, I think so it doesn't age too badly. In other words, it kind of sticks around all the way through Memorial Day. Repurpose it. Yay. Like we can do these things. But I think that, yeah, I think our retailers are just not quite there yet. And to be fair to them, I think that it's going to be a lift by retail and brand to be prepared for that kind of a retail calendar approach to how this goes. But it is funny. It did start popping in. Like I do get these push notifications. I got a cool Wonder one with a pretty aspirational pool shot, which I thought was really fun about the 4th of July deal. I saw Spark sent out something. And I thought actually one thing I'll give the cannabis brands credit for is last Friday during cocktail hour, when I was going through my personal email, I was just like deleting all of the 4th of July sales that already started last week. And I was like Wayfair, the freaking furniture company, or like, you know, I don't even know, like Alice and Olivia, one of my favorite brands. All these companies were like 4th of July sale. And I was like, guys, like, but they could, I mean, we know consumer spending is getting a little bit trickier, and maybe they're like, let's just get a jump on it. Yeah. To drive some interest.
Yeah. It'll get there. It'll get there. And we're just looking at the early innings of this thing anyways. So are you going to maybe get high and watch some fireworks this year?
Okay. So in San Francisco, inevitably, we call the fog Carl here. I don't know why, but inevitably Carl rolls in, and there are, I can see the Golden Gate Bridge from my apartment. I should be able to watch the fireworks, but the fog has different plans. So usually you just kind of see the fog getting backlit. But yeah, I'll get high. What about you?
Yeah, I think in the neighborhood I'm in, not allowed anymore. You know, you can still go. There's still those stands in other towns nearby that you can go and pick stuff up. Yeah. But probably going to just be, you know, sparklers. And that's about it. So that's something. But like I said at the beginning, the fireworks are just getting boring now.
Man, we got to get you to the international competitions so you can raise the bar.
The Eurovision of fireworks. I'm here for it.
Thanks for listening to the High Rise Podcast, presented by Headset. For more information on Headset, visit headset.io.